Good morning, America. Welcome to Dialogue and Debate here at Pacifica Radio. I'm your host, Mark Levine. I host the Inside Scoop radio show on the Head On Radio Network. But I'm always proud and honored to be here once a month on WPFW to give you the Inside Scoop on issues of the day. Now, most of you know about Senator Larry Craig of Idaho. You kind of have to be in a cave somewhere not to know about the Republican senator from Idaho who was caught in a bathroom propositioning an officer. He, of course, pled guilty and then has later tried to deny it. But I want to talk broader than Senator Craig about all kinds of people in America, namely the prospect of straight people married to gay people. Now, this is the kind of thing that a lot of people talk about in private or among their friends. It's not often talked about publicly, and yet it is a tremendous public situation that I think needs to be talked about and is perfect for dialogue and debate here in Pacifica. My guest today is John Craig. Now, John Craig is an addictions counselor at Inova Hospital in Northern Virginia. But what he also is the co-founder of the Straight Partner Support Group. And what he does is he counsels straight people who are married to gay people and gay people who are married to straight people. It's a very interesting situation. He does it for Whitman Walker right in the District of Columbia. John Craig, welcome to Dialogue and Debate.
Thanks, Mark.
Now, how long have you been doing this? When did this idea come from to actually counsel straight and gay people who are married to each other?
Actually, Mark, it came out of Whitman Walker. There was a woman running a group for Whitman Walker for women who were identified as heterosexual and in traditional marriages with men, but they were beginning to question the fact that they might be gay or bisexual. And so these women were meeting at Whitman Walker, and the need was there for their husbands to have a place to talk. There was also a need for heterosexual women married to men who were questioning their sexual identity to have a place to talk to other women in the same situation. So I co-founded a group over in Northern Virginia through the Whitman Walker office there with a woman co-leader, and we counsel both men and women who are heterosexual but with partners who are questioning their identity.
Now, this must be a very vulnerable moment. I mean, here you have a straight woman or straight man who's been married, I don't know, anywhere from 1 year to, when I think of Larry Craig's wife, 20 or 30 years.
Yes, it could be decades.
And suddenly their partner comes out as gay or bisexual, and it seems like the foundation of their marriage is in trouble.
Absolutely. It's a shocking thing, and it really takes the chance to step back and look at life from an entirely new perspective for that individual.
Now, are most people, are they accepting? Are they not accepting? Are they in shock? What is the typical reaction of someone in this situation?
I would say usually it's shock. Not always. Sometimes there had been a straight partner had thought, well, perhaps my partner's got some homosexual attractions in there somewhere. But often it's a total surprise, clear out of the blue, and they really are in shock.
Now, in the Larry Craig situation, of course, you have a pretty homophobic member of Congress, a senator, who voted on anti-gay legislation all the time. Do people come from homophobic communities tend to be in this situation? I mean, do you find these kinds of marriages more likely in Idaho than, say, San Francisco?
Well, you know, that's I don't know any statistics on that, but it's an interesting question. And certainly in my groups, there have been, for example, women who are married to men who grew up in very conservative families. Maybe they are Catholic, where it's a conservative Catholic family where homosexuality is considered a sin or immoral, or they come from a military family where you just don't even consider the fact that anyone in your family might be gay or bisexual. And having come up in those repressed circumstances, the men in the lives of these heterosexual women have probably more than the average person repressed their homosexual feelings.
And so it does seem to be more common in conservative and repressive cultures than more liberal cultures.
Well, I think in a more liberal culture, the individual male or female who has these bisexual or homosexual attractions probably would have come out or might have been more likely that they would come out at an earlier age.
Now, is it different when the woman is either lesbian or bisexual, when she's the one exploring different issues of sexuality? Is it a very different dynamic for the straight men in that kind of marriage?
Well, I think that often it could be the men are generally not concerned with the HIV issue because their female partner is not involved in the community where HIV is a high, very high risk.
But psychologically, I mean, is there a difference in the way that people approach it, or is it fairly similar? I mean, the straight men and the straight women, and do you have them together, the straight men and the straight women that are in your groups?
We sure do. Yeah, and they talk back and forth. Yeah, they compare notes. They certainly do. Again, I think that the women in the group, the straight women, are often concerned that their male partner might follow a pattern that is more prevalent in the gay male community, that is multiple partners sometimes or in anonymous situations, especially because their male partners have been closeted. And so, you know, today many gay men are pursuing relationships that are quite stable and steady because they are totally out of the closet and they have the support of their community. But if you're dealing with a man who's totally in the closet and identified as heterosexual, it may be more likely that he will be pursuing anonymous partners.
Now, in the African American community, that's often called down low, the closeted gay person.
Right.
And I was curious to know if there's a difference between people who are on the down low, people who are closeted, and those that are openly gay in terms of sexual practices. We don't want to get pornographic here, but in general, the kinds of healthy relationships that they have.
Well, it's a whole different scenario. Clearly, and I can, you know, being a white male, I can speak only in a limited to a limited degree about the down low. It certainly has its own language and its own patterns, but there are certainly, you know, white males who also go outside their marriages to seek their traditional heterosexual marriages to seek male partners.
I guess what I'm trying to figure out is here you have Senator John Craig. Who,
Larry
Craig. No relation to you, John Craig.
Exactly.
I apologize there. But you have Senator Larry Craig, who is apparently seeking anonymous sex in a bathroom. And he has a long-term marriage to a woman for many, many years. He adopted her children. And yet it would seem that these kinds of anonymous places are more likely to happen with a closeted person than someone who's openly gay, because someone who's openly gay can obviously go to their own home, or they don't have to live these secretive lives.
That's exactly right. So you're seeing a very different pattern there. Of course, this used to be prevalent in the among gay men 50 years ago.
Back when there was more repression.
Yes,
and so
exactly, because just about everyone was in the closet. But today, so many gay men are out, even if they're in politics. You know, you've got Barney Frank, whoever. But on the conservative side, you have more issues of the closet, I'd say.
And so what's interesting is that when conservatives are trying to deny gay people the right to marry, they're trying to press for legislation that would punish gay people for being gay, it ends up to have these even more difficult situations, like
unfortunate situations,
people
right.
meeting in parks, people meeting in bathrooms, and so forth.
And you have to say with Larry Craig, it's probably true that if he had homosexual feelings, you know, 30 years ago whenever he was, say, college age, he probably said to himself, well, this is a passing phase, or it's just normal in young people, and then it goes away later. And he may have just decided to, you know, have furtive anonymous sex was typical of all homosexual connections in America at that time, unless you lived in New York City, perhaps.
Now today, of course, Larry Craig was very anxious when his first interview. Instead of denying he did the crime, he did that later on. He seemed to be more anxious to deny that he was gay.
Right.
And there's a phenomenon today among whether it's right-wing conservatives or even some young people today to say things like, well, I have sex with men, but I'm not gay. What is that all about?
Well, I think it's a very important issue, and it's been run into by HIV prevention specialists for a number of years now. The gay lifestyle, as you might say, is something that is associated, you know, with discos and certain kinds of stereotypes. And many males in our society don't want to be associated with gay culture, although they do want to have sexual connections with men of different kinds. So the language problem, they were giving out questionnaires quite frequently in the early days of HIV prevention, and it would ask a man, are you gay or are you bisexual? And he would say no to each of those questions, and it would ask, do you have sex with men? And the answer would be yes. So there's a lot of confusion there.
Well, is the confusion, it's a cultural thing that people don't want to be associated as gay, but they still want to have sex with men.
Right. That's exactly what's going on.
Men. Mm-hmm. Now, do women have the same issues? Are women less likely to declare themselves lesbian or admit they have sex with women, or is it more of a male issue?
I believe I'm correct to say it's more of a male issue. I've certainly read about it much more on the male side. I suppose there are terms like women who have sex with women. But I think it is more of a men's issue, probably because of the virility factor that's involved here. A heterosexual male might think, well, if I identify as gay or bisexual, I'm admitting I'm not much of a man or not a real man, quote unquote.
Well, that's very interesting to me because now I've met a number of bisexual men and women, but I've met far more bisexual women than I have men. And I'm curious if you see this in your practice as well.
I think the truth is that women are more likely to identify openly as bisexual. They have support from the heterosexual women's movement, or the women's movement, which is predominantly heterosexual. So women support each other. Gay women and straight women support each other. But traditionally, males have not. And so I think it's pretty clear from the statistics that many more men are bisexual. Kinsey came up with this result, and others have as well.
Well, let me suggest to you my own social theory here, which is that it all has to do with misogyny, that it all has to do with basically societal attitudes, negative attitudes toward women. It's always struck me that a woman who wants to wear a suit or pants and act like a man, if you will, stereotypically, that's normal. That's expected. The woman's in the business world. Of course she wants to wear pants. No one thinks two thoughts about it. But a man who wants to wear stereotypical women's clothes, why, that person is sick. He needs psychological help. I would suggest the same is true about bisexuality, that a woman who wants to explore this other sexual side of hers, if she wants to occasionally have sex with a woman, that's cool. Straight men like that. They have, you know, fantasies right. about lesbians, so it's very cool. You might even have a girlfriend who's been with a woman, and that's a good thing for a misogynistic straight male society. But a man who wants to explore that side, well, that's like a man acting like a woman. That's a bad thing. In other words, these attitudes toward bisexuality are informed by society's misogynistic attitudes. What do you think?
I think there's a lot of truth in what you're saying, Mark. The fact that male homosexuality in our society is largely associated with effeminacy, that plays a major role in what's going on here. In the ancient world, homosexuality was often associated actually with the warrior class.
Sparta.
So, yes,
Sparta. In the Greek land.
And the Romans as well. But now it's very different. And so because it is associated with the feminine, therefore many males don't want to identify as gay or bisexual.
There's so many interesting intersecting questions here, and I very much want to give our listeners a chance to call in and join the dialogue, join the discussion. The number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. We're going to take a quick break, give people a chance to call in. We'll be right back with John Craig, who is the co-founder of Straight Partner Support Group, right after this. Welcome back to Dialogue and Debate, Pacifica Radio. I'm your host, Mark Levine, host of the Inside Scoop radio show on the Horn. I'm always proud to be here on Dialogue and Debate. My guest is John Craig. He is the co-founder of the Straight Partner Supports Group. He's an addictions counselor at Inova. But at Whitman Walker, he is the man to go to if you have a straight or gay people married to each other, something that happens all the time but people often do not talk about. We've got Dwan, who's called in. Dwan, welcome to Dialogue and Debate.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to say that I think it's good that y'all are talking about these issues and stuff, but I also believe that it's not fair. I'm not homosexual, or do I have a lot of friends that are, but I just think it's not fair for this man, Larry Craig, to be discussed in this manner, because he has said more than once that he isn't gay and he's not bisexual, so I believe that he has the right, the benefit of us believing that what he says is true. He has a family, and I don't believe it's fair to them to have to be questioning what he's saying. If he says he's not gay and he's not bisexual, I don't think he should be judged or, looked in and, skewed around and try to figure out how gay he is or if he's bisexual. I think at this point now it's a private matter, and I really think that we should not be discussing somebody's private issues in a manner as if we have that right to discuss whether or not he is gay or bisexual, because that's his right, to say he is or isn't. If he wants to say he isn't, I think he has that freedom, and I don't think that he should be judged by it or continually talked about in a manner as if, like, okay, we know he's gay, but he's just saying he's not. Because I don't think it's fair, and I'm quite sure it's hurtful, to him to have to go back and forth with this. If he wants to say he's not, I think he has that freedom and that right. We are in America.
It's a fair point, Dwan. I just want to ask you, does it matter that he is a senator from Idaho, a Republican who has voted consistently in an anti-gay manner, and then pleads guilty to being in propositioning an officer in the bathroom? I mean, does that matter? I mean, he's not a private person.
I think that it does matter that he is a senator and he's from Idaho and that he's fought against gay rights and everything. But I also believe that in America we have that freedom to still choose to be who we are and not have to, answer to it. And if he says he's not, and if that's his vote, I think, hey, then that's what he says. We have a lot of politicians that say things and don't do things. We have a president in the office right now that says a lot of things.
That's true.
So I don't think we can judge him on his homosexuality. I think that's still private.
What if we judge him?
Things that are being done.
What if we judge him, Dwan?
By the politicians in this country. So I don't think that's a great issue that we should be riding on, because again, it is his own personal choice.
Well, I'm just wondering, what if we're judging him not on being gay, which certainly John and I have no problem with, but with his hypocrisy? I mean, there's a difference. If a man's gay or is not gay or bisexual or whatever, that's great. But the idea
the
that
only way you can prove is hypocrisy if you could prove that he's gay. And by
he
him
pled
saying
guilty.
He's not gay, he's not bisexual. The only way you can prove it is if you know somebody personally that can come out and say, well, I've had an affair with him, or I am his secret lover, or something of that sort. But being that nobody has come out to say that, yes, I slept with him, or yes, I met him in a bathroom, which all of that stuff is a little bit too much for me, but nobody's come out to say that. So
okay.
Therefore, I believe that we still have to give him the right that if he say he's not, and we can't say he's being a hypocrite because nobody's proved his hypocrisy. If someone comes out proves that he's being a hypocrite and debates what he's saying and says that, he actually is like that because they've indulged in relations with him, then I will say, okay, he's a hypocrite and he can be now talked about. But
Dwan,
right now,
maybe you're right.
Come out
maybe
and said anything. So
maybe you're right. Maybe we should
in the bathroom, which is really crazy, and we can't judge him on it. It's scary, it's crazy, but I don't think we can judge him on that. And I can't say he's a hypocrite. He's appealing and he's fighting, and so he has that right. That's what America gives everyone, and so I don't want to say he's a hypocrite until somebody comes out and show me that he's a hypocrite. As of now, one has come out to say, well, I have.
Well, my understanding, Dwan, is actually there have been some people that have claimed to have been with Larry Craig. And I mean, this is one of the things, again, some of it's he said, you don't really know. But I thank you for your call, and I definitely get your point. John, do you want to say something real quick?
Well, perhaps Duan is right. We should perhaps frame this by saying, you know, if Larry Craig is gay or bisexual, then what we're talking about applies.
Okay. The number is 202-588-0893. Let's go to Janet. Janet, welcome to Dialogue and Debate.
Hi. You took the words right out of my mouth, and I'll call him a hypocrite if you guys don't want to.
Oh, I'll call him a hypocrite. I'm happy to do that. Duan doesn't want to, but I'm happy to do that. Go ahead, Janet.
And you are correct. A gentleman did come out. They had him on tape. Actually, if you Google it, you'll find it. Police officer interviewed this gentleman who said that he engaged with Senator Craig at Union Station, right around the corner.
That's right, right here in Washington, D.C.
Exactly. So that did happen. And there are a number of things that have happened over the years since he actually started in the Senate. So he is a hypocrite. And that is the discussion here. First of all, it's how difficult it is for those people who are partners with people who find it difficult to be honest about what they do. And then secondly, he is a senator, and it is all about the hypocrisy. He is a hypocrite. So how dare you engage in this behavior and then roll over backward, no pun intended, to do whatever you kids have fight against, people who are honest about what you are unable or unwilling to be honest about. So he is a hypocrite. You guys keep on talking.
Well, I agree with you, Janet. I appreciate that, but I respect Duan's view as well. John, it's interesting. Janet mentions how hard it is for the straight spouse. I assume it's hard for both sides, both the straight spouse and the gay or bisexual spouse, to deal with the situation.
Absolutely. Yes, on both sides there's a lot of stress and a lot of things to be figured out.
I always remember when they had the discussions on whether gay people should have the same right to get married as straight people do. Anytime we have that discussion, I ask someone who's opposed to the right of gay people to marry, I say, what do you think gay people should do? Should they marry straight people? Because they can't marry each other. And people usually hem and haw and don't want to answer that question. But in essence, that is a common occurrence, maybe more common 50 years ago. But gay people who feel like they have no choice in society but to marry straights, and then they ruin both their lives.
Well, I think we're in a period of transition here, which makes it much more likely that the situation around straight partners and their partners is going to arise, because we're coming out of a very repressive era into a much more tolerant era. In the future, people are going to know ahead of time before they get married and declare who they are. They're going to find out who they are sexually and declare that, and they're not going to make these mistakes. They're not going to be pressured into marriages they don't really want. In the past, they would never come out. They would just stay married their whole lives and be repressed and you know, maybe never even act on these homosexual feelings. But right now, we're at this change point where people who were very repressed in a very repressive society 30, 40 years ago, suddenly after two decades of marriage, are seeing around them a much more liberal and open society, and they're more likely to realize or think about or acknowledge their homosexual attractions and realize maybe they should never have gotten into this heterosexual marriage.
The phone number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Let's go right to Thomas. Thomas, welcome to Dialogue and Debate.
Good morning.
Morning.
One of the things I noticed, I worked in a situation at one time in my life where I had to file sexual harassment against a manager.
Okay.
And the reason was these guys never admit that they're gay.
Never
and
admit that they're gay.
Most of the men I know on the down low, and I got to know many that I had worked with, I had no idea they were on the down low. This person told me who was who in order to entice me to get involved. I've never had a problem with a gay man. We get along quite well. Because I can always say, man, you know, the friendship ends when the effing begins. Let's be friends.
So, in other words, you're more threatened by people on the down low than people that are gay.
Oh, no question, because most of them believe that all straight men are gay, too, that they're doing what they're doing. They're lying about it. And they don't like taking no for an answer. They continue to keep coming back. A gay guy, you can just say no to him, and that's the end of it. You can stay friends. But the other thing is, like the young lady who kept insisting in the beginning, the Republican Party is inundated with people like this. I remember a guy on the Eastern Shore several years ago. He was always anti-gay until they caught him hanging on gay bars.
Yeah.
And this guy, Craig, also has a history.
He does have a long history. And that's one of the reasons why, in fact, he was so scared when he got arrested in the Minneapolis airport. Because
exactly.
The Idaho newspaper had been watching his past for some 30 years or so.
Right.
John, I'm going to give you a chance to comment about people either on the down low or closeted, people who call themselves straight but seek out men for sex. I don't know if you have a comment.
Well, I think, Thomas, I'm glad you called in. It's a very complicated situation. Again, I get back to the models that come to us about homosexuality from the ancient world, where homosexuality was much more tolerated, and there was a sense that males could empower themselves by having sexual or romantic relationships with other males, because males hold power in our society as they did then in that ancient society. So connecting, for a male to connect with other males, was an empowering form of relationship.
But it's interesting to me Thomas's point, which is that a self-respecting gay man doesn't need to seek out straight people to have sex, because he's gay, he's happy in who he is, and he can go seek to have a gay man.
Right.
Whereas a man who calls himself straight but actually likes to have sex with men is far more insecure. And therefore far more likely to seek out straight people for sexual encounters.
Well, that down-low individual, that down-low male, may assume that most so-called straight men
are in
fact like him.
Right,
exactly.
Lying about it to themselves.
And Thomas, it may be that actually these men truly believe that.
They truly think they're straight, like Larry Craig thinks he's straight.
They may think they're straight, and they might think also that others who identify as straight will almost necessarily be interested in sex with males as well.
And all this has to do with prejudice. I mean, if there weren't prejudice, there'd be no need to be on the down low or pretend to be something you're not.
Well, there's two issues here, actually, when you move into bisexuality or the down low, and one is sexual orientation and the other is monogamy. And the monogamy issue may actually be more highly charged, because if homosexuality were completely tolerated in our society, but monogamy was still the norm.
People still cheat, whether they're straight or gay.
Exactly.
They cheat on their spouse. We got a whole bunch of callers here. The number is 202-588-0893. Michael, welcome to Dialogue and Debate.
Hello, how are you today?
We're doing good.
I got to tell you, I've got a curse that hopefully you'll help me with or understand when I make my comment. My curse is my ability to think for myself, you know?
That's not a curse. That's a good thing, Michael.
I know, but I'm just being sarcastic, I guess. But the point is, I think the discussion or the concern for any politician, and I'm not singling them out, but just since Mr. Craig is a political person, right?
Yes, Senator Craig is. Not my guest, John Craig. Don't confuse
him. Well, my point is, for anyone, but just responding to the subject at hand, the thought that's even with all the stuff on the plate, so to speak, all the terrible, ugly things that are happening out here where people are suffering and dying, and all the opportunities that we're blowing, resources we're blowing, to even discuss people's preferences or who they are. I mean, nurture nature. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. I'm a mind my business type person. Some people I know don't have a problem with any of this because, oh, I can handle the problem. Well, I don't see a problem.
You don't see a problem with Larry Craig?
No, I'm talking about the subject of whether somebody's homosexual or not.
Oh, see, that's great.
The problem.
And hopefully we'll all live in a day when no one sees it as a problem.
Right. Now, for Mr. Craig, whether or not he's, and what I'm calling specifically for, and I'll say this and get off of here, whether or not he's a hypocrite, well, if you're enacting laws and, come on, mind your business, man. What are you doing? I mean, am I crazy for thinking it shouldn't even come, it's not even on the table when you're out there supposed to be helping the people, you know, up for and by the people? See, that's part of my insanity, too. I believe in up for and by the people, and I'm still looking for that. And once you get that, if my elected person is even discussing homosexuality, I'd rather smack him in the mouth, tell him, hey, shut up and go home.
Well, now, wait a minute. I mean, here's the thing. Gay people don't have equal rights in America today.
Exactly.
So if they did, then I can agree with you. It's all private.
Well,
it's not worthy of talking about.
Let me back up for a second. Under certain, those contexts, absolutely. But hopefully, well, let me rephrase that quickly and get off.
Okay.
That is certainly a good reason to discuss it, but to have phobias. How about, maybe that's what I'm trying to tell you. If you're phobic, then come on now.
Yeah.
Relax. Calm down. People are who they are. I don't have to know whether you learned this or came out. Come on. So you're absolutely right.
Thanks for your call, Michael. I appreciate it. John, increasingly among the youth today, when you talk about people in their teens or even in their 20s, sometimes people are beyond this issue of sexual orientation. They're like, you know, stay out of my private life. I'll be with whoever I want to be with. You know, it's not relevant. There's so much tolerance that it's not even an issue anymore. Is that right?
That's true. And I think that's going to be increasingly evident to the older generations as these new generations come of age, that there's a whole trend towards assuming that you might be with opposite sex or same sex partners, and you really don't want to be placed in any category.
Let me go to Teresa. Teresa, welcome to Dialogue and Debate.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Your first caller got me so upset.
Okay, go ahead. Talk about it. That's what we're about here.
I'm a black woman.
Okay.
67 years old, and I have seen this issue of gays being married to straight from a lot of different angles and perspectives. There have been times in my life that I have suspected that my partner was not who I thought he was because of his this unnatural attachment that he may have had to his friend. And I put that friend in quotes, air quotes, okay? Because, you know, every decision had to be, well, we have to consider, what is Sambo going to say, and or what is Joe going to say? And, like, I'm trying to figure out, you know, as a young woman, I used to be trying to figure out, well, what does Joe have to do with this right here, you know?
Teresa, but, if you don't mind me asking you personal questions, and if you do, just say I don't want to answer, but are you married now to this person?
No, I never, thank God, I never.
You never married him?
No.
Okay.
No.
But you were very attached to him, and he was, at
it
least.
It was these funny situations kept coming up. And then we get to the whole misogynistic kind of thing, because during that time, you know, everybody talked to women like we were kind of like some kind of, well, we were like the idiot child. You know what I mean? We were a step above being a child,
yeah.
But we were not smart enough to be real people.
Right.
Like the men were, you know. So, you know, they would always pull out some kind of crazy kind of logic, and you would go back and start scratching your head and thinking, well, maybe I am wrong, and, you know, and, well, just let me think this over. But then I had this girlfriend, and she, you know, we were very, very close, and so she was just really upset about what was happening between her and her husband. So anyway, to make a long story short, she followed him one night to find out where do you disappear to, you know, all the time, you know. So she went there and knocked on the door. And when she knocked on the door, the person that answered the door was a gay man, but he was dressed in woman's clothes, and it was like, you know, and what do you want? And
how many years ago was this, Teresa? I'm curious. A long time ago?
It was a good about 30 years ago.
30 years ago, because it's very interesting.
Nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
She never was the same after that, you know what I mean?
I mean, John, these things, they're very, very painful, obviously, to the women who are involved. And I'd be curious, you know, 30 years ago, if you think things have changed, or does it really just depend on the community?
Well, things have changed in many ways, but to get to the issue here, I think there might be two separate issues with this woman who had the nervous breakdown. One is that her husband was not being faithful.
Right.
Number two... actually three issues. One, not being faithful. Two, involved with a same-sex partner or involved with another man. And three, the cross-dressing of involved in some of this activity. Now, all three of those, if you think about it, are highly charged, each one individually. So
how would you counsel this woman? She's had a nervous breakdown. She comes to you. Or how would you counsel a woman like that to deal with the situation?
Well, I think it's very important to calm down. It's hard to calm down, but it's important to try to do it and try to sort through and think through the different issues one by one. and it's going to be a process that won't be done quickly. It's got to be done over a period of weeks or months or longer in order to find out what's really going on, because these are very complicated issues that go deep, and you're not going to get a solid idea of what's actually going on in any specific case quickly.
Does it help for people to talk to other people in the same situation?
Absolutely, because they're going to discover many different perspectives, and that's the purpose of our Whitman Walker Straight Partners Group.
Teresa, thank you for a very powerful call. I very much appreciate that. Let's go to Jim. Jim, welcome to Dialogue and Debate. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a comment about Senator Craig.
Yeah.
I don't consider it my right to comment on somebody else's sexuality.
Even when they're
whatever
voting?
Whatever they are is their business, and it's none of mine. But as far as their character goes, and especially elected officials, everything is fair game.
Okay.
And senators in particular have an almost unlimited capacity to avoid the law. And with all of the resources available to that man, I don't see why he had to plead guilty or whatever his plea was in a situation if it was not based on some kind of evidence.
The
evidence points to his guilt. Now, we don't really know what the facts are, but then there have been a lot of people who have been put to death based on circumstantial evidence. And I think that our government, the Senate, the White House, and the Congress need more sunshine, not less. We need to know what they're doing, and the media is falling down and not reporting more.
I appreciate that.
And the idea that this could happen and stay undisclosed for as long as it did just boggles my mind.
Well, I agree with you, Jim. I'll tell you, there is a big difference. Certainly, an ordinary person in their private life, it's their private life. And if people want to disclose, you know, if someone wants to have a partner of the same sex, I think that's terrific. Just like people who have their married partners' pictures out on their desk, certainly a gay man or lesbian should be able to do that. But if people want to keep that all private, they have an absolute right to keep that private if they're not voting on these very issues. And so I appreciate the distinction you made, Jim. When you decide other people's lives, when you vote on other people's lives, when you vote that gay people can't have any rights and you're gay yourself, then and only then do I think your own sexual orientation becomes relevant. So I agree with everything you said, Jim, and I appreciate your call. Let's go to RG. RG, welcome to Dialogue and Debate.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, hello.
All right. Just had a weigh in on this. I thought that find a topic actually to be rather trite, but at some point I actually began to find it rather provocative.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad you went from trite to provocative.
All right. But, you know, I think that people who adopt a lifestyle as a matter of a public persona, you know, or profile, if you will, you know, to use the down-low vernacular, I think that people live in settings or in societal situations, living situations, which expose them to use that word clocking, is one of the words I think they use to define monitoring a person's habits and, you know, the peripherals of that person, vis-a-vis no children, never around women, intolerant of abuse by members of the opposite sex, whether it be a woman or a man, you know, and then, of course, but when it becomes something which is discriminatory and, you know, hits you where it hurts in the pocket or where you live, you know, to use another one of those vernaculars, you know, in discrimination in employment or housing, those kinds of things, promotability, you know, being defined as a fag because you might have artistic inclinations or, you know, effeminate mannerisms, body type. You could just go on and on, you know, and I just find it to be very, very trite. You know, when all is said and done, because, you know, it's it behooves all of us to be, you know, perfect or imperfect, and I'm certainly not, you know, expressing tolerance one way or the other on it. But
except, RG, it's very much
you weigh in on it.
Well, it's very much part of our society. I mean, it's trite if you accept it, and if we live in a completely tolerant society, then the issues do become meaningless. It's like we talked about people in their 20s who make no distinction. That's great.
Yeah, but when it becomes tortious, or you know, when you're taking stuff away from people,
right.
or you know, pigeonholing them, or
I agree with you.
Hitting them in the pocketbook, or you know, denying them of certain advanced abilities to advance in society because of this, you know, like I said, stigma or you know, cloud of. Despair or whatever cloud of
sure or legal rights when it comes to the right of two gay people to marry there's very important
yeah,
legal
well, that's the
rights
other extreme. I mean I'm not down with that, but I'm saying
no, why not?
Just to you know say you know yo Joe Blow over there must be a fag because he's you know all of the above that I mentioned, you know, that's you know, but when in the case of Craig, I mean he's a public official and I think his credibility only is in question because of the honesty factor. Like you said, not necessarily because of you know what he chooses to do. It's really none of my business, and I don't care.
Well, I thank you for your call. I appreciate it. John, I wanted to ask you about one of the things that RG raised, which was the idea of like an effeminate kid growing up, that you know, the issue of whether you're gay or bisexual or straight is different from whether you're, if you're a male, masculine or feminine, if you're a woman, whether you're masculine or feminine. You can be a masculine male that's gay. You can be an effeminate straight man. Sometimes they call them metrosexuals, not always. Right. Women, you can be a masculine woman who is straight. You can be a lesbian woman who's very feminine, right?
Right.
So what is society, when Argy's talking about sort of persecuting a young child because he's effeminate or artistic or so forth, Where does that come from?
Well, I think this is a very important issue, and you do have this overlap between the identity, you know, that male homosexuality is often considered necessarily effeminate. Part of the problem is that our society has allowed feminine male homosexuals to be open. If you're a hairdresser, a ballet dancer, or an interior decorator, or some of the so-called more feminine professions, you have traditionally in America, even in the 1950s, been somewhat tolerated. On the other hand, if you are a professional football player or you're in the military and a Marine, you had better keep it quiet. Therefore, the homosexual or bisexual men in the military or in the NBA or in NFL have been very closeted. I believe
so. Society sees effeminate gay men more than they see masculine gay men.
Exactly.
Simply because if you're effeminate, you're allowed to be out in a way that masculine men are not allowed
right.
to be.
Right. In fact, I think some gay men decide to put on the effeminate affectation almost as a way of, before they come out, as a way of preparing people for the fact that they're gay, because they know that that's part of the definition, so that people will say, oh, well, we knew because you were somewhat effeminate.
Is the same true with women? Do you see lesbians putting on a masculine affectation because it's seen as more accepted by society, or is that less common?
Well, I think women may do some of the same things, yes, maybe if they realize they're lesbians, if they act more masculine and traditional masculine roles, that's a way maybe to convey to their family or friends before they come out that this is something that's going on with them.
202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Terry, welcome to Dialogue and Debate.
Yes, I just have a brief comment.
Okay.
I'd just like to say that your sexual orientation is really personal, and I feel, and I've tried to raise my kids to judge a person on their character, and that I really don't want to know what your sexual orientation is. I mean, I don't know why people feel that they have to know. I don't tell anyone what my sexual orientation is, and I feel that it's very personal and private, and again, the other callers were saying about the senator, once you are out in public, you have a responsibility. And all people, we should have gay marriage, we should have, everyone should have a right to be who they want to be.
Well,
and that's what I just like to say.
Thank you for your call, Marie. I really appreciate it. John, I just real quick, in terms of people expressing their sexual orientation, maybe if we lived in a perfect world where there was complete tolerance, people wouldn't need to. It could be all private. But is there a political goal in expressing and saying, coming out, if you will, I'm gay, I'm lesbian, I'm bisexual?
Absolutely. In the 70s, I lived out in Castro Street in San Francisco. Harvey Milk was the city councilman at that time, an openly gay city councilman. And he always said, you know, come out, come out, come out. And Human Rights Campaign started a coming out day, or one of the organizations a coming out day, I think in the 70s as well. When people come out, their friends and family understand firsthand, which is critical, what it means to be gay or lesbian, because they're seeing their friend or family member in that situation, and it really expands their perspective.
Now, you're bisexual yourself.
Right.
Do you come out in your therapy sessions? You're treating straight partners. Do you tell them that you're bisexual?
Yes, and I think that's part of the reason I was a good co-facilitator of this group. My female co-facilitator was a woman who was heterosexual and had been married to a man who identified as straight but turned out to be gay. But I think that some of the women, especially the straight women in the groups that I conduct, value the fact that I have personal experience with heterosexual relationships, as well as the fact that I've been to some extent in the gay world at times and understand the world of gay men from that firsthand experience.
202-588-0893. Marie, welcome to Dialogue and Debate.
Welcome. I didn't think I was going to have a chance to get in.
You're in. Talk to us.
But I feel that this society should accept if people want to go in that direction, be gay or whatever you call them, they should acknowledge it and accept it, because decades ago a man was dating me, and another man told my mother that I was dating a gay man,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know it. And I wasn't that head over heels about the person, but I dumped him right away. I had no, you know, feelings of yay or nay. I dumped him right away.
Yeah, it's so surprising.
And you see, back then, I'm going back decades ago, you had men, gay men who wanted to present to society that they were straight, and they would try to date women, you know, who thought they were straight, but they really weren't. And so they're deceiving the female, which I resent. Go ahead, sir.
No, like I just said, you're right, Marie. It's always interesting to me who, you know, I used to work for the House Judiciary Committee. I used to work in politics. And it's always interesting when I see opponents of gay rights. And they say, well, you know, gay people shouldn't marry each other. Marriage is for a man and a woman. And they pretend like that has no consequences, when in reality, the consequences of denying equal rights to gay people is forcing them in the closet. And then they do things like marry straight women. And that's not good for the woman. That's not good for the gay man. That's not good for society. And yet it's the prejudice and the beliefs of politicians who want to punish gay people don't realize that, in effect, they're punishing not just the gay person, but a straight person, too.
Thank you.
I would like to make one point in regards to some of the things Marie was talking about. There is, and it's very important, I think, for women to understand that their male partners, husbands or boyfriends, may in fact be somewhere on the Kinsey scale that is neither totally straight nor totally gay.
Briefly explain the Kinsey scale.
Well, the Kinsey scale is Alfred Kinsey's scale of sexual orientation that goes from one extreme of totally heterosexual to the other extreme of totally homosexual, and Kinsey pointing out there are many shades of gray in between.
So it's not just gay and straight, or even gay, straight, and bisexual. There's a whole continuum here.
There's a continuum, and people can move along that scale as well. I think that's very important to remember, so that a woman who finds that her male partner is engaged in same-sex activities should not assume that he is totally gay. He may be somewhere in between. It's still a difficult situation.
Well, because they're breaking the monogamy. I mean, they're cheating, and that's the difficulty.
Right. There are many issues still, but don't necessarily assume that the man is completely gay.
Interesting. Okay, we still want to get a few more callers in before we close here. Nick, welcome to Dialogue and Debate.
Yes. I used to say it didn't bother me what whatever lifestyle anybody wanted to live. But not until gay and homosexual lifestyles have caused the deaths of millions of my people back in Africa, and blamed it on them, and shamelessly blamed it on them when they caused it in their bathtubs in San Francisco and New York. They blamed it on Africans.
Well, Nick, I think it's unfair to blame AIDS on anybody.
Almost, how many millions of Africans? How about that? What of the problems? What of the calamity they have caused? Do they take any responsibility for it, or just dodge it and blame it on other people?
Nick, I'm glad you called, but I couldn't disagree with you more. I think it's unfair to blame AIDS on anyone, whether it be Africans or gay people or anyone else. People are passing it around through sexual contact, and anyone that's had more than one, even someone who's had one sexual partner, can get AIDS. So I think it's unfair to blame it on gay people. It's also certainly unfair to blame it on Africans. It is a major crisis in Africa, and it's something that we all need to work on to teach safe sex among straights and gays. But I do think it's unfair to blame anyone here. Let's go. We only have a few minutes left, and I want to get to the other callers. Harold, welcome to the Dialogue and Debate.
Yes, sir. Good morning. I'm listening to the different comments on about this subject, and I think that we have strayed from what we're supposed to be like as a people, as a society. You know, as God's people, God created us. He created sex. He created a man and a woman to be partners, marriage-wise, and anything other than that is wrong in the sight of God and in the sight of men, even though we might agree with it. But it's wrong. And, you know, we can take a page out of the animals' book. The animals are doing better than us.
Well,
because you don't find two male animals going to each other.
No,
that's not true. Yeah. There's a whole list of journal articles, hundreds of them, that show that homosexuality is common among dolphins, mountain rams, all sorts of animals.
Yeah, there's actually a famous case of penguins I know in a Sweden zoo where the two penguins mated, male penguins, and adopted an egg to take care of. So check your facts, Harold. I think you'll see that it's common in every species, not just humans. Let's go quickly to Tony. Tony, welcome to Dialogue and Debate.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My comment is towards the same situation that gentleman was just speaking about, the marriage situation as far as homosexuality. It's unfair. I feel it's unfair to the man and the woman in marriage to say that they should be equal to that, because as you all speak with the animals and all that, that's a whole other state, a state of mind. Human beings, marriage is supposed to be the joining of one, to develop a family, you know, teach your children, grow, and build a family from it. And that's not natural. That's not natural with homosexuality.
Why do you say that? There's certainly gay couples that are raising children together that have a strong, lasting, loving relationship for 40 and 50 years. Why can't we live and let live?
Because a man can't show a woman, a young girl, the role of a mother, as well as a real mother.
So there should be no single parents then? I mean, are you saying that single parents shouldn't raise children?
No, that single parent is different from homosexuality.
Why? I mean, you just said that it's because a man can't show a little girl, or a woman can't show a straight...
Single parenthood is different from homosexuality. Because, see, now what you're doing is teaching that homosexuality is how you might want to grow to be, when that person might not have that in their mental from the beginning. But what you're doing is you're showing that it's okay. When, and true indeed, to some people it might be okay, but it's not the natural way of life.
Tony,
so how can that child grow to be in its natural form?
Tony, I think there are all kinds of families in the world. I think there's families of a man and a woman. There's families of a man and a man. There's families of a woman and a woman. There are families raised by single parents. There are kids that are adopted. There are kids raised by their grandparents and aunts and uncles. And I'm not going to tell somebody that, you know, Bill Clinton's mother, who raised him alone, and he had an alcoholic stepfather, that didn't, you know, turn out to be a pretty good child. Not that Bill Clinton's perfect. There are all kinds of families in the world, and I don't think we should be out telling families, no, I'm sorry, I don't even know you two, but I don't want the two of you to get happy and love each other and raise a family together as a gay couple. I want to force you into these marriages with straight people that we've just heard from John Craig and others leads to all kinds of unhappiness. I want to let people be free to live their own lives and raise their own families, and I'm not about to tell a family of loving, committed people that they can't raise children. John, you want to have the last word?
Well, I think that's important, Mark. We are in a society where there are many kinds of relationships and committed relationships being formed, and I think it's important not to make blanket statements and to let people, form meaningful relationships.
John, I want to thank you very much for coming here on Dialogue and Debate. John, as I said, is the co-founder of Straight Partner Support Group at Whitman Walker Clinic. If you are or you know someone who is a straight person married to a gay person or a gay person married to a straight person, you might want to check them out. I also hope you'll check out my radio show. I'm Mark Levine, host of The Inside Scoop. More information on that at radioinsidescoop.com. Thank you all here for another great edition of Dialogue and Debate.